account for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal. Spirit light within us, a
All right, good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And special Sunday, looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us. Glad you're here. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you this morning. And God, we thank you for this season, God, that we can really pay attention. And God, it's easier to tell people about you because of the season. And God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this morning. God, that you might bless our kids as they do their program. I pray that you might be with our Sunday school hour, that you might be with Brother Moyer and others as they give forth the word of God. God, help it to make a difference in our lives, in our hearts, as a result of being in your house. And God, I pray for those that are not able to be here, dear Father, that are sick and have other issues. Pray for Tom Reed that lost his wife this week and other Sister Heckle, that you might continue to be with her there in the hospital. But God, thank you for those that are here. And God, I pray that you might meet with us in this building this morning and bless the reading and preaching and the singing and all things today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's all stand. Turn to page 159. Blessed be the name.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 3, Redeemer, Savior, Friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 4, his name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, his reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Good singing. You may be seated. Turn to page 426. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the days had come, the belfries of the Christendom had rolled along the broken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Verse 4, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
On the last,
till ringing, singing, on
chime, a chant sublime, a peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen. Good singing.
Amen. Well, welcome to the Sunday before Christmas Sunday, right? And glad you're here. Looking forward to a good day in the house of the Lord this morning. All of our kiddos from kindergarten through college age will be presenting the first Christmas ever for our program this morning. And looking forward to that. Then I hope you'll be back in God's house tonight, 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday will be a little bit different. We're going to load the bus at 6 o'clock and head to some of our seniors and carol to them. And then come back to the church and have chili and dessert. And if you want to enter the contest, you can make a big batch of your homemade chili and see if we like it the best. Amen. Because we're going to take it and dissect it and the color and the taste and the texture and all that. So it's going to take us a little while. But anyway, we'll have a great time on Wednesday night. Then next Sunday, we only have two services, one service at 11. And then the next one will be at 5 p.m. candlelight service, and I promise you we'll be out in an hour and 15 minutes on Christmas Eve. We will, I promise. But anyway, we'll have a good time. And I hope you'll be in God's house. Hope you'll be in God's house on Christmas Eve. We will not run the buses for the next two Sundays, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, but looking forward to next Sunday. We did have a great time on our adult Christmas social. And I was disappointed the white elephant didn't show up, but a pink elephant showed up. So I don't know if we're going to change it to the pink elephant gift exchange or not. But anyway, it was a good time. And if you still need a directory, please hold on. Sister Lori did a great job of putting it all together. And we need to print some more. We only printed enough for Friday night, but I know we didn't even have enough. So just hang tight. You will get a directory if you want one, and so just hang on. Then New Year's Eve, we'll have morning service at 11, and then we'll have a watch night service, 8 o'clock to midnight. So that's a long time, but don't bring your pillow, okay? We're going to have popcorn preaching, we'll have a meal, we'll have Bible quiz, a lot of things, and we'll pray the old year out and the new year in. You say, well, I go to bed at 8. Well, once in a while, you can stay up a little bit, all right? So we'll have a great time that night, so check that. Check your Christmas card rack for your name and those in there. It will only be up through next Sunday, so don't think you can send everybody a card on January 5th and expect it to go there, all right? So we'll do that. Then pray for Tom Reed. He lost his wife this week. We're going to do the memorial service tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Caldwell, and so pray for them. Also, Philip Lindholm graduates today, We're going to honor him tonight because I want to see the diploma, because he's getting a Bachelor of Computer Science, and those guys can produce anything. Here, I graduated, but I'm going to see it with the Chancellor of WSU's handwritten signature on there. No, we're proud of him. He's worked hard, and if you're welcome to go. It's at 2:30 at Coke Arena, but they said come early if you want to go. It's first come, first serve. And so we're proud of Philip for his accomplishment, and so praise the Lord for that. So it's good to have Brother Moyer. Love Brother Moyer, and hope you'll continue to pray for his wife. So you come on, Brother Moyer. We'll have a word of prayer, and thank you for being here. Looking forward to a good day in the house of the Lord today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, and dear Father, I thank you for the love that you showed to us and demonstrated on the cross. God, thank you for our dear church people that are here this morning. God, the world doesn't want to put you in Christmas. They want to take you out of Christmas. They want to disassociate you from everything that we do during the season. But God, I pray that we as Christians, we as born-again believers might put you back in Christmas, put you focal point, the center of all things that we do during this season. Thank you for Brother Moyer with his dear wife and others that need your special healing. But meet with us this morning and bless the rest of our day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, well, I won't turn on the other mic then. Okay. Well, I do see a problem. It blocks out the vision in my Bible. and the other real problem, because I can see these guys down here. I mean, before I'm up here, I never see this front row. It's actually about the second row back. It's about the furthest back I can see. Now I can see these guys. It's really different. Okay. All right. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a few portions of Scripture here concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be the kind of the topic. I don't know if I like this thing or not. It's kind of in my way. But anyway, the topic here this morning, we're going to be talking here a little bit about preparation for Christmas. Now, how many of you prepared for Christmas? Are you finished? You got all your shopping done, everything done? But you do prepare for it, right? I mean, I've got an uncle that loves to make candy at this time of the year, and he's prepared for it for months. People prepare for Christmas, and you know what? God prepared for it. This is the time of the year. It didn't take God by surprise at all. Matter of fact, first verse I want to look at here this morning is found in the book of Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 tells us here in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." God had a purpose in this. And it says here, in the fullness of time, God determined way back, he was preparing for this clear back in the days, actually before the world began. He knew everything that was going to happen. But in the book of Genesis, we find out in Genesis here in chapter 3 in verse 15 tells us, God, after Adam and Eve had sinned and were being banned from the Garden of Eden there. In chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, the Lord told, let's back up to verse 14, and it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this," he's talking to Lucifer, the serpent, the old devil, he said, "Thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all thy days." So there, because of this situation, because of what happened here, and Adam and Eve fell into sin, and then the verse 15 says, God prepared. God had a purpose and he had planned here. And he says in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of old Satan. He's going to take care of him. God had a plan there in the beginning. It tells us in the book of Isaiah, God's preparation has gone on. So here in Isaiah chapter 7, we have another. See, I did mark it. There it is. Well, I'll get there. 58, there's a lot of chapters here in the book. There it is. Chapter 7, it says, in verse 13, and it said, he said, talking to David, he says, "Hear ye now, O house of David," talking to Israel. He says, "It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also?" He says there in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And we can look in verse chapter 19 of the book of Isaiah. It tells us here in this portion of Scripture, in verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God had prepared Israel. He had told them many things. He told them about where he was going to be born in the Old Testament. We can find in Malachi chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrates, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and everlasting, and from everlasting. And so he's telling here about the birth of Christ here, and where he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And you know, we know in the scriptures, it tells us in the book of Matthew. It starts out here in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, in the book of Matthew, he starts out, Matthew starts out with genealogies, telling us about the actually how the lineage of David and how his son is going to be born. And we can read in Matthew chapter 1 here in verse 17, it says, all the generations from Adam to David were 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away of Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And the next verse, it starts out with, now, the birth of Christ, where Jesus Christ was on this wise, when he was, his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so it tells us of the birth of Christ here in Matthew chapter 2. And then verse 19 says, when Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. So all in the Old Testament, it was pointing to this birth of the Son of God. The Messiah was coming. When Jesus came upon the earth, when it's the Apostle Paul, we've been studying the book of Acts, and we will be back in the book of Acts next year, giving you a year off. Next year, we'll start back in the book of Acts in chapter 25. But anyway, the Apostle Paul, Matthew here, and Luke has written the Christmas story, and the ones we're familiar with. And actually, all the Gospels, I believe, have the birth of Christ mentioned in them, except the book of Mark. Mark starts out with, in chapter 1 here, he starts out with John the Baptist, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you might think, well, there's not much mentioned in the book of John either about the birth of Christ. He doesn't go into all the details about it, but he does tell us about the Lord's birth. He tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, for just a minute here, we'll look at this. John chapter 1, and verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was a light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's talking about the Word. And we find out then in verse 14, it says here, and the Word was made flesh. That's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the birth of Christ, as he talks about it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I always like to go back to verse 12, because this is what happened. It says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, to be born again. We can read that in chapter 3 in the book of John, how he Jesus or Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and Jesus tells him, you must be born again. There's a another verse of Scripture. As we look at all these prophecies, we need to remember this verse of Scripture too. I believe in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises." You know, here in the Old Testament, we see thousands of years before it actually came to pass that the Christ would come. Thousands of years took place, prophecy after prophecy, built upon line upon line, precept upon precept, and pointing to the Messiah coming the first time. And God says here in 2 Peter, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises." When God gives us a promise, we need to remember he is going to keep it. He is going to keep it. As he told them he would come the first time, we're guaranteed today that he's going to come again. He's going to come again. And so as we've seen him come the first time, this is one of the great things I believe about celebrating Christmas is that we know he came the first time and he's going to come again. He promised us he would. God is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness. You know, a lot of people today say, "Oh, that's not going to happen. People said that years ago. He's coming. He hasn't come back yet." Well, he will. He's promised. The first time that he promised, clear back in the Garden of Eden, he had told them that the Messiah was going to come. It did happen. It did come to pass, and the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And it says, not concerning, back up verse 9 again, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness." Is he so long-suffering? But is long-suffering toward us, toward man, Adam's race. He's long-suffering toward us. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the purpose. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came, is that we all might come to Christ. And so we see here now in Luke chapter 2, we'll go back to the Christmas story here. Preparation had to be made. Joseph and Mary were not living in Bethlehem. They were in Nazareth. They were the Lord had came to. Let's look back in chapter 1 a little bit. Talks about the promises that was given in chapter 1, and it talks about the birth of John the Baptist in the first part. Zacharias, who was went into the temple, and he was told, heard the angel there and tell him that he was going to have a son. But then after this, and of course, Elizabeth then with child. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Luke, it's in 26 verse says, "And in the sixth month, an angel of Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth." So that's where Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth. And it says, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin name was Mary, and the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she was troubled at the sayings, and was cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou found favor with God." You know, and we're talking about this favor. Mary wasn't any different than any other Jewish woman there, but she was dedicated to the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord with all her heart, and God knew her heart. But this favor talks about finding grace. The grace of God is showed here. Grace was bestowed upon her. It wasn't because she was so much better than anybody else, because she was something special, as some religions would tell us today, that she was the mother of God and different things like this. But she was found favor. That word favor is where we get our word, the word grace that we hear. And so She found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah is coming. And it said, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he goes also and tells her, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth she has conceived a son in her old age, and it and is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. With for this verse 37 is very important. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So that's what he was telling Mary here. You don't understand this, Mary. You don't know how this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And I want to remind you, Elizabeth, who was past the childbearing age, past that time where she could bear children, now was having a baby, and his name was going to be John. And then he goes on to say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's amazing. That's the kind of God we serve, folks. We serve a God that there's really nothing impossible for him. We see all kinds of barriers and problems and mountains and all these things. But with God, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that's going to happen. And so we see that Mary was told these things, and she was going to, and of course, and we see in the last part of the chapter that John the Baptist is born here, Zacharias. We find out there that they told him they were going to name him Zacharias. And in verse 6, he says, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Why? Because that's what the angel had told Zacharias. And of course, then Zacharias was able to speak and all these things, and he told him that his name should be John, and everybody marveled because of this. And in verse 76 says, thou child shall be called the prophet of the Highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give a knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercies of our God. It's the only way that we can get forgiveness of sins is the tender mercy of our God. I like that. Whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming to visit, and to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the desert until the days that he shewing unto Israel. So that's what that's John, what happened to him. But then in chapter 2, God has prepared all these things. Where were Joseph and Mary? They were in Nazareth. How did they get to Bethlehem? Well, it happened to be, as we know, Caesar Augustus put a tax upon the people. And it says there in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, this was months before, I don't know, maybe even a year before the announcement of Christ's birth, and all this 9 months at least before that time. And Joseph had to go now to Bethlehem, the place where he was born, to pay his taxes. God was preparing exactly what it said in Micah, so a place where Jesus was going to be born. And all it came about, not because there was Something that came up, and Joseph said, "Oh, we need to go to Bethlehem." No, he didn't. I don't know if he knew the scripture about being Christ being born in Bethlehem or not, but God did. He has us all planned out. You know, there's so many things at times in our lives when things happen that we don't understand, but behind it we can see the working hand of God. I just think of the book of Esther alone. God's name is not even mentioned in Esther, but his hand was working through the whole process there of saving his people. And in this portion of Scripture, God tells us, he already told us in Galatians there, we read before, in the fullness of time. And so he put all these things in preparation. He prepared all these things that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And so here Augustus, in his unknown way, was used by God to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. And it says, and the taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, and to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, they knew that the child was going to be born, and, you know, he didn't take much thought of how to get there or the preparations or any of these things, but God took care of all these things for them. And so we see here they had a purpose. They had to go. They had to go to be taxed. And so he had to do these things, and I don't know if he really wanted to do it this way or what, but this is what happened. God always has his hand in these things. And it said, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So he got there to the city that day, and there was no room for them. But what they found was a stable, a manger here. And here we see the baby Jesus. Talk about humility. And one of the humblest parts in the scriptures where we can look here is the Son of God setting upon, can you imagine, setting in the throne of glory, now coming to be born in a manger. How humbling that was. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that he humbled himself and went to the cross for us. It was a humbling experience for God's Son here. He humbled himself to become human. When you think of it, here he was, and in one moment he was on the right hand of the throne of God, and there in glory and hearing all the praise of the angels and all these things, and now he's laying in a manger. There wasn't much preparation for him. There was here he was. He wasn't born in a mansion. He was born in a manger. In the open, he was accessible to everybody. I believe that's exactly what God wanted. He wanted us to realize the Savior was going to be acceptable to everybody. Anybody could come and see him. And we find out here, it tells us where he was, and it says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Open. God, as I read before, he was not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so he opened the gate for everybody to be able to see him. He wasn't born in a mansion or in a king's palace where only certain people could get in. No, he was born out there in the manger. and born in the stable. And so the angels heard the good news here. And it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there shone around about, there was with them a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill unto men." And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard its wonder, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We see here the shepherds came. You know, when the king, when the wise men came in Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, they brought with them frankincense, myrrh, and gold. So they brought those things with them. They had something, gifts to give him. The shepherds here, I believe, gave him the greatest gifts that he could ever got. It's something that we need to do every day. It says what they did, the first gift they gave him was their faith. They believed that he was born. We need to believe today that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger. We need to believe that he lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and died for us. Not only that, we need to believe the third day he rose again from the dead. That was a message that the Apostle Paul had been preaching all through the book of Acts. The Messiah has come. The Old Testament has been fulfilled, and now the Messiah has come. And so we need to believe those things. I believe that the shepherds, they brought him the gift of faith. They believed that he was there, and when they found him, the Bible says here that they rejoiced. And they had seen Mary, and they said that the shepherds returned back. They had seen him by faith. They came and saw him, and then they turned back. And it said, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Just like it was told. Just like it was told in the Old Testament. Micah said that he would come, born in Bethlehem, and there he was. And the shepherds believed God, and they went there, and they trusted in him. And we find out here, it says here, and they returned back. And what did they do? They glorified God. You know, that's our purpose in life, that we are made so that we can glorify and praise God. All the things he's done for us, those things that we don't understand. I'm sure Mary and Joseph were there that night, and they were at all kinds of questions in their minds. What was going to happen? They knew Mary was told that this was going to be the Messiah, and she didn't understand how Jesus was going to be born and how she was going to be pregnant with him. All these things she didn't understand, but she believed God. Joseph, as we read before, thought about there in the book of Mark, thought about putting her away privately, but the angel came and told him, "Don't do that that he would marry her and to take her as his spouse, and to remember that his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us," just like it said in the book of Isaiah when it told us that therefore. A son shall be given, and the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God being interpreted, God with us. And so we see those things. And also there in the book of Isaiah also it said, I'll turn right back there real quick, because this the Messiah that came, the one that was born that day in Bethlehem, is not finished yet. This is only the first part of the story, because one day he's going to come again. And as it says right here in Isaiah in chapter 9, it says there that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He has not come in that position yet, but one day he will. We've been studying the book of Revelation, and we've seen that he's going to put everything under his feet. He's going to set up his millennial reign. And you know, when the Apostle Paul was here and he was preaching the gospel and all those things, many of the Jews, the reason why they couldn't understand this is because they were looking for that Savior that would come, just as it says here in Isaiah, that he was going to be governor, that he was going to rule everything. He is one of these days. He's coming back. And just as the Bible tells us, one of these days, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to ever be with the Lord. And one day, he is going to come back. As in the book of Acts, where it tells us there, as the Lord ascended up into heaven, and the men in white apparel stood beside them and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go." He's coming again. We just need to remember that first birth, the reason why he came. The reason why he came was to die on the cross of Calvary. The reason why he came is because God was not willing that any should perish, but all should repent and come to him in repentance, as it says in 2 Peter. That's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. One of these days, he's coming again. What a day that's going to be. What a day. I can't wait till the day happens. Because all these people that say, "Oh, no, that's not going to happen." It's going to happen. Why? Because he came the first time. Because God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Oh, I'm so glad that he's long-suffering. He'd came earlier than 1950, I wouldn't have been born. You know, so he's long-suffering. I'm glad he suffered with me until 1971 when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. If I died before that time, I'd been in eternity or hell for eternity. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the reason why those shepherds, when they seen the angels and proclaimed the words and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, that shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass." They had faith. They saw the angels. They heard these things. Messiah had been born. They wanted to go see him. And when they got there, they were convinced. And they went back glorifying God and praising God. That's exactly what we need to do. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Excuse me, chapter 4. It says here in Revelation chapter 4, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Praise God. Well, that's exactly what the shepherds did. They went back glorifying God and praising him for all he's done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful for this day you've given us. Now, Lord, I do pray that you be with the services to come. I pray that you be with the presentation of the kids in Sunday school. Lord, that it might honor and glorify you in all the things we do here this morning. I pray that you be lifted up. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done today. We're thankful for all the things you did, Lord, 2,000 years ago when you first came, knowing, Lord, that one day you will come again. And Father, we're looking forward to that day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Father, I pray that you help us to look to that day, Lord, when you're going to come again. For Lord, we know it's soon. Father, we ask that you'd have your will and way in the services. I've asked that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, that you would open our hearts, our ears, that we'd be able to hear your word. Most of all, Lord, open our hearts so we'd receive it. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.